Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 3, Rishabhdev's Appearance, Text Number 8. Word for word, please repeat. Atmanah eva anusavanam anjasa avyatirekena bhobhuyamana ashesha purusha artha swarupasya kintu nata ashisha ashasananam etat abhisamradhana matram bhavatum arhati. Hare Krishna. So this verse is in prose, so I will read the whole way through. Atmana evanu savanam anjasa vyatirekena bhobhuyama na shesha purusharta swarupasya kintu natha shisha asha sananam etad abhisamradhana matram bhavatum arhati. Please repeat. Atmana, self-sufficiently. Eva, certainly. Anusavanam, at every moment. Anjasa, directly. Avyatirekena, without stopping. Bhobhuyamana, increasing. Ashesha, unlimitedly. Purusha artha, the goals of life. Swarupasya, your actual identity. Kintu, but. Nata, O Lord. Ashishaha, benedictions. For material enjoyment. Asha sananam, of us who are always desiring. Etat, this. Abhisamradhana, forgetting your mercy. Matram, only. Bhavatum arhati, can be. Translation: all of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly, and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us, so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord does not need huge sacrifices. Fruitive activity for a more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interest. Yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. If we do not act to satisfy the Supreme Lord, we engage in Maya's activities. We may construct a gorgeous temple and spend thousands of dollars, but such a temple is not required by the Lord. The Lord has millions of temples for His residence, and He does not need our attempt. He does not require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are freed from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, He is pleased with us and gives us His benediction. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not for the Lord's sake, but for our own. If we somehow or other receive blessings and benedictions from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified, and we can become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Atmana evanu savanam anjasa vyatrekena bobhuyamana shesha purushartha surupasya kintunata shisha Asha sanana metad abhisam radhana matram bhavatu marati. Om ganati mirandashya gananjana shalaka chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri grave namaha ukum kroti vachalam pungum langete girum yat kipa tamaham vande shri gurum dina taranam panchakalpatar vischa kipa sindubhivcha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. All of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you are unlimited enjoyment and blissful existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us, so that we may be benedicted by your Lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruitive results, and they are not actually needed by you. So these are the words of the yogic Brahmins, priests. And Maharaj Nabi, they're performing this apparently fruitive sacrifice on the platform of Karmakandya. But Maharaj Nabi, being a great devotee of the Lord, Raja Arshi, and a great pure devotee of the Lord, was performing the sacrifice ultimately for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and understanding the pure desires. Of Maharaj Nabi, Lord Vishnu actually personally manifested himself before everyone's eyes, gave wonderful, beautiful darshan, described in a previous verse. Lord Vishnu, around the lower portion of his body, he wore a yellow silken garment. On his chest was the mark of Shivats, which always displays beauty. He carried a conch shell, a lotus flower disc and club. So forearmed Vishnu form. And he wore a garland of forest flowers and a Kostuba gem. He was beautifully decorated with a helmet, earrings, bangles, belt, pearl necklace, armlets, ankle bells, and other bodily ornaments bedecked with radiant jewels. So, the sacrifice was performed to apparently to have a son. It seemed to be apparently like a materialistic, fruitive sacrifice. I just want some sons. But actually, because he was a great devotee, he was desiring the Lord. And the Lord actually will appear as Rishabhdev, one of the wonderful sons of Maharaj Nabi. The Supreme Lord himself, Rishabhdev. So here, in the presence of this beautiful darshan of form Lord Vishnu, the priests, along with Maharaj Nabi, are offering prayers. And submitting themselves in a very humble mood. And this is actually desirable. This is required in devotional service to the Lord. This is pleasing to the Lord, taking this humble position. I mean, they must have been so expert and so perfectly performing everything about this yajna, the Supreme Personality of God had personally appeared, but they were not puffed up. Here, the words, they're taking the very humble position. We're just engaged in these fruitive activities, and we've offered these elaborate articles and offerings to you, but you don't need any of these things. You're self-sufficient. You're completely blissful, completely Atmaram Chintamani Prakarasad Musakalpa Vriksha Kshavartisha Surabhi Rabhi Palayantam Lakshmi Sahasrashatasam Brahma Sevimanam Govindamari Purusham Tamam Vajami. The Lord is served in Vaikuntha and Goloka by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. And so many temples are there. Prabhupada says, we make great endeavors to serve the Lord by constructing wonderful temples and so much has been achieved. It's practically inconceivable, like the building of this particular temple in Juhu, all the struggles the devotees went through and the wonderful success and the ongoing success after so many years after Prabhupada's departure. It's a wonderful achievement, and so many wonderful temples around the world. But ultimately, it's the Lord's mercy that he allows us to do these, offer these things to him, because he does not need them necessarily. The Lord has so many temples made of Chintamani, and there's a wonderful song by Narottam Das Thakur, Vrindavana Ramyastana Divya Chintamani Dhamma Ratana Mandira Manohar. There's so many wonderful mandirs that are stealing the mind away, so beautiful, so wonderful. Dibya Chintamani Dham, and the wonderful spiritual abode of the Lord. He has so many wonderful temples and residences. Why does he need one more? But he mercifully accepts the endeavor that the devotees make for his pleasure. And Prabhupada explains time and time again that it's actually for our benefit. Even not benefit in terms of material benefit, like we get something material in return, but we get the highest thing, prema pumartamahan, we get the Lord's mercy, we get love of Krishna, we become purified by engaging our resources, our intelligence, prana, our mind, our wealth, whatever wealth we have, whatever intelligence we have, our life itself. In the Lord's service, we become purified and the Lord becomes pleased with us, and that's the ultimate perfection. Even in deity worship, Bhushana Bhushanangam, it said that Lord Krishna is the ornament of ornaments. He does not need our ornaments or jewelry that we offer or different things. Rather, he beautifies the ornaments himself. But Prabhupada explains that if we, with love and devotion, offer something to the Lord, then we become benefited. We get the Lord's mercy and the Lord's blessings. And it's even said that when we decorate the Lord, we actually become decorated, just as the reflection. If one decorates oneself, then in the reflection there also becomes decorated. So it said that when one offers wonderful things to the Lord, the deity form dresses the Lord nicely and so forth. One actually becomes beautified himself. And furthermore, Prabhupada is quoting Yagyartat Karmanon Yatra Lokoyam Karma Bandana. It's actually obligatory. It's not it's actually mandatory. We have to. If we do not offer the things that we have, our activities, yet karoshi rasnasi, yet juhoshi radas, yet whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we offer, if we do not give that to the Lord, then we become entangled in this material world. We're actually forced to act. Bhagavad Gita explains that all living beings, nahi kaschit kshanam api jatu tishtatya karmakrit, no one can remain without acting. The soul is always constantly active. No one can refrain from performing activities. We're actually, and Krishna explained to Arjuna that you have this proposal of not fighting on the battle, but I say that the laws of nature and the Lord within the heart will impel you to act by the modes of nature which you have acquired. Whether we desire to or not, we'll be forced to act. So it's not a question of acting or not acting as far as being entangled in the modes of material nature and the reactions of fruit of activities, but it's a question of who to act for and who to dedicate the activities for. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevana bhakti rishte. Devotional service, bhakti, has been defined by the great Narad Muni as that activity performed in a purified state of understanding, first of all, that we're not the body, that we're eternal spirit souls. Unpurified consciousness means this full of upadis, full of material designations. Prabhupada explains this is the impure state of consciousness. When we even think for a moment that I'm this body, if we even think for a moment that I am from this prestigious background, or that I am from this prestigious family, or that I'm great, or I am even from this race, or from this that we are this vehicle that we're in temporarily, or this set of clothes. Krishna explains that This physical body that we have is a temporary set of clothes. The soul is the actual self, the Atma. The eternal spirit soul has no birth or death. But he, in material conditioned existence, he accepts bodies one after another, undergoes birth, death, old age, and disease. And Krishna explains that Vasang Sijirnani Ta Vihaya Navani Grinati Naroparani, just as a person gives up old garments, old clothes, and accepts new clothes, in the same way the soul rejects an old body that cannot be used anymore and accepts another body. And this is going on over and over in this material world. But one who identifies with the particular body that they're inhabiting at this particular moment is in an impure state of consciousness. Devotional service is meant to be performed on the platform of Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam, freedom from these designations. And in our constitutional position, ultimately parabhakti, pure devotional service, one is completely established in their eternal swarup, in the very high stages of pure devotional service. But even in the beginning stages, we should be at least theoretically, and more realized, in a more and more realized way, conscious of our spiritual nature. That we're actually eternal living beings, we're part and parcel of Krishna. Jivar Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Our eternal identity is a servant of Krishna. That means all the time I'm a servant of Krishna, not just once a week, not just once a day. Not just in the morning, but all day, every day, I'm a servant of Krishna. That's who I am. Savaipum samparo dharmo ito bhakti adhoksuje ahituki arpatihata yayadma suprasidati. This is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, that pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service will actually satisfy the self. So, realizing one's eternal spiritual nature in that purified consciousness, using the senses of the body that we have now, in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. That is called bhakti by Narad Muni, the great authority in bhakti, devotional service. Because we don't have a choice of not acting. We're stuck. We're in this material body. We have a certain term, you know. In this life, we cannot suddenly just say, oh, I'm finished with this body, I'm going to leave here. No, we're stuck here. But we have a choice which way to use the senses of this body. For my selfish, mentally concocted desires, or for Krishna's pleasure. And if we decide correctly to engage our senses for Krishna's pleasure, then that is called devotional service. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchite. So, Srila Prabhupada is quoting this Yagyartat Karmano Nyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhana. If we don't engage what we have, our resources, our intelligence, our words, our mind in Krishna's service, then we become entangled. And we're also acting on the platform of kama. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that lust and love, kama and prema, they may appear similar, just as two metals iron and gold may appear similar, but an intelligent person knows gold is pure and is so valuable, whereas iron is not very valuable. So this kama and prema is what is going on in the spiritual world. That is what's going on and on the liberated platform, the spiritual platform. Those who are simply interested in Krishna's pleasure, serving Krishna's senses. We have to engage in sense gratification, either this way or that way, Prabhupada explains. But the difference between prema and kama is either our sense gratification or Krishna's sense gratification. We have to act for. So, Atmendriya priti vancha thari boli kam, Krishnendriya priti cha thare premanam. Prema is when one simply wants to satisfy Krishna, whereas kama is one simply satisfies their own material desires in the name of love in this material world, in the name of so many sentimental ideas. One is simply interested in their own gratification, either, you know, personally or extended. But then everything that one does, everything around one, the whole environment becomes tainted by this lust, this kama. And then everything is contaminated, actually. That's why the temple of Krishna is so wonderful. Because one in the material world is, you know, experiencing so much frustration, so much misery, and so much discontent due to the just the atmosphere is full of selfishness, and not only, you know, harmless selfishness, but very cruel selfishness. It's a very cruel world, you know. Human species, animal species especially, the dogs are, you know, the big dog is biting the other dog to show its supremacy, and you know, the jivo jiva si jivanam, the weaker animal is always being eaten by the stronger animal, and everyone's always in fear. The bird cannot eat the little grains without fear. He's looking this way and that way. Anxiety, kunta is everywhere. But the temple is the embassy of Vaikuntha. It's the place. It's a very wonderful atmosphere, free from anxiety and misery. A wonderful, blissful atmosphere. Why? Because everything is engaged in Krishna's service. The temple of Krishna is the place where Krishna is in the center, where every activity, stringing garlands or singing or any activity we're doing, service of Krishna, is an offering to the center, Krishna. And everything becomes harmonious, and the atmosphere becomes very pleasing, because everything is tainted by this love of Krishna. And that's why the spiritual world is such a desirable place to go to, because there's this harmony of consciousness and this selflessness. Selflessness is a very attractive quality. Selfishness is a very undesirable, unattractive quality. But the spiritual world is a wonderful place where only the pure, selfless souls can be admitted. Only those who have ecstatic love for Krishna and are completely free of any selfish desires. They have love for Krishna and they have love for all living beings. That's also the qualification of the Mahabhagavat. Sarvabhuteshu yakpashet bhagavad bhavam atmana bhutani bhagavati atmani esha bhagavatotama. The distinction between the different levels of devotional service is in how we actually see and treat the other living beings around us, including the Lord Himself, the Supreme Living Being. Archayam eva hare pujam yakshadayate nat bhakti shuchanishu sabhakta prakata smrita. Materialistic or beginning devotional service. Archayam eva hare, one may be very much interested in the deity in the temple. Pujam yat shadhayate, they may have great faith or some faith. Pujam yat shadhayate natat bhakteshu chanyeshu, but they do not have the proper respect for the other devotees of the Lord or for people in general. It's just me and the deity and then go. So that's kind of like the beginning stages. It's called Prakrita Bhakta. The intermediate stage is Madhyam Adhikar. It says, Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dvishatucha prema maitri kripopekshaya karoti sa madhyama. Now one is not only interested in loving Krishna, but they have a very deep respect and love and friendship for the devotees of the Lord, those who are engaged in the Lord's service. Ishvare taradineshu, taradineshu. All that's engaged in the Lord's service, one develops a great respect. That means the devotees of the Lord, especially. One has respect for them and develops friendship with them. And what is his responsibility to the other living beings, those who are innocent, childlike, but are ignorant of Krishna consciousness? Kripa, he must give mercy. He develops this desire to give mercy to other living beings. That's how he sees others who are willing to take it, take the message. He goes out, he makes the endeavor to uplift the other living beings. That is preaching work, that is book distribution, prasad distribution, college preaching, all these things. It's our endeavor to give mercy to the innocent, those who are just like a ripe fruit on a tree. Some of the fruits are not ripe, so you leave them alone. But some of the fruits on the tree are quite ripe, and if you take them now, then they'll be delicious and wonderful. So actually, in the all throughout society, there are many personalities who are just looking for this Krishna consciousness. They're waiting for it, and they're like ripe fruits. And a devotee feels that his duty, that just as I have received some special mercy from my spiritual master, from Srila Prabhupada, from some devotee who may have given me a book or preached to me, the same way, let me try to extend that same mercy to the other living beings. So that is preaching work. Prema, maitri, kripo, peksha. And then for the dvishatsu, for those who are actually atheistic or very determinedly against theism, against God, and are very antagonistic, just ignore them. Leave them be. Don't get entangled. Don't overstep. Don't overestimate your power. It's like we're talking about the Madhyam, the intermediate platform now. So someone on that platform may not have so much shakti that, you know, the demoniac person may be more convinced about atheism than you are about Krishna consciousness. So by trying to preach to them, he may convince you to give up the whole idea of Krishna consciousness. So it's actually dangerous. And what to speak of that, you will not be helping him, because you may implicate him in committing offenses to the holy name or to devotees or to the Lord. Better to just ignore them. So the life of a Madhyam Adhikar is very nice, actually, because he has wonderful relationships. He has a relationship with the Lord in the temple. He has wonderful friendships with devotees. And he has, you know, a wonderful feeling of kindness to the, you know, the innocent living beings. And for the demonic, atheistic people, he just doesn't see them. They're out of the picture. So his life is very nice. But then when it comes to a very high platform, Mahabhagavat platform, then one actually gives up all these distinctions. They actually develop so much intense love for Krishna that that love overflows to all living beings, that they have a spontaneous love and feeling of compassion. Just like in the intermediate stage, we may not have such a natural or spontaneous feeling of compassion, but we preach out of a sense of duty, because the order was given by our authority and we know it's the right thing to do, and we're at least on that platform of acting out of duty to help the fallen souls. But when it's on the topmost platform, then they naturally feel love, bhava, sarva-bhuteshu yak-pashed bhagavad bhavam atmana bhutani bhagavati atmani esha bhagavatottama. And the great devotee actually has a great feeling for all living beings. Love, just as he loves the Lord, he loves all living beings. And of course he feels himself, he feels that everyone's actually serving Krishna, even what we consider demoniac personnel, somehow or other he sees them, he's serving Krishna. I'm not, I'm so fallen. He has a great sense of humility also. But yes, we want to develop this ultimately. Actually, this is the only platform of happiness. Because really, if you analyze, what is the cause of anxiety? What is the cause of unhappiness in our life? It's that we have inimical feelings toward other living beings in some form or other. Either envy or hatred, or just we're not able to forgive somebody for something that they've done to us. So many things. They cause pain to our heart. Just because we don't love other living beings. Just like if you're competing with someone, then you don't love them. You see them as someone to be pushed down, you know, someone to be stepped on, so I can put myself up. But that's not, when the heart is not happy by that. Heart is always in anxiety. So envy or hatred, the heart is not happy. The heart will only be happy when we love all living beings. And that's the platform of the Mahabhagavat. Because even on the middle platform, we may have so many, you know, we may not, you know, be pure in this vision, universal vision. But on the Mahabhagavat platform, they're completely happy. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Even this material world, which is described in all of the Shastras as miserable, temporary place, prison house, but he sees it, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. It's actually a happy place because he's received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's come to the highest platform of spiritual life. So it said that there are two happy living beings. Yascha mudatmo loke, yascha bhude paramgata. Tavabo sukamere te klishit tantrato jana. That one who is yascha mudatmo loke, one who is very foolish. And the example is given of the hog, who's just completely oblivious to social restrictions, and he's just going all out for sense gratification. He's considered one happy living being. And the other is the Paramahamsa, the topmost pure devotee of the Lord, who loves Krishna and loves all living beings. He's also happy. So you can look at it as we only have two choices if we want to actually become happy. What are those two choices? We have to either become completely, you know, the most degraded, you know, give up all, you know, restrictions and just completely go all out for sense gratification and intoxicated and in a state of complete oblivion, and then be in some kind of some type of happiness, which is not really happiness. Or we can come to the level of a pure devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj. He's considered a Mahabhagavat. So pure and so much love for all living beings that he even was praying for his own father. Who could be more inimical than Hiranyakashipu? He was trying to kill him so many ways. And he was the avowed enemy of his worshipful Lord. But even after Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad prayed for, please, if you want to give me some benediction, just help my father. Give him some mercy also. So that was his vision. And so we actually have only two choices. If we want to become happy, do we want to become happy? Yes, the living being wants to be happy. But it said that anywhere in between, from the pig to the Paramahamsa, you're going to be full of anxieties. Klishyat antarato jana. Anywhere in between, there's going to be all kinds of klesha, all kinds of anxieties, miseries. Even we're practicing devotional service, but until we come to the highest platform, we'll still be, to some degree or another, experiencing the miseries. So we only have two choices. And what is the intelligent choice? Obviously, is to become a pure devotee. And that is what this Krishna consciousness movement is for. It's for teaching us how to come to the highest platform. If we actually seriously take to the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, then it has the potency to take us to the highest platform of pure devotional service, ecstatic love for Krishna, and these Brahmins are offering these wonderful prayers to the Lord in a great mood of humility. And Srila Prabhupada also tells us that this is the way we should do all of our service. He was speaking specifically about worshipping the deity, that we bring some offering, and it should be in a mood that Prabhupada said, I'm so rotten, I'm so fallen, I'm lower than Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that I'm lower than the, more insignificant than the worm in the stool, I'm lower, you know, more sinful than Jagai Madhai, but I've brought you this offering. Somehow or other, please accept this offering. Even though it's insignificant, even though you don't need it, even though it's so contaminated, so imperfect in so many ways, but please, my dear Lord, just accept it. So Prabhupada said, this is the proper attitude. He said, don't be puffed up. Prabhupada said, this is not pleasing. Don't think, oh, I'm so great. I'm so, have so many abilities, so much intelligence. You know, and I've done this wonderful thing. Krishna doesn't need that. He's whatever intelligence you have, or whatever abilities you have, it's given by him. Don't be puffed up. Don't be proud. Always take the humble attitude, and then this will be pleasing. Then our offering will be pleasing. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva seshnuna. And then we'll actually get the taste. If somehow or we can develop real humility and devotion by some, you know, grace of the Lord, that one moment in our life we can experience real devotion and real humility, then we'll experience so much bliss that you know, we'll never give up Krishna consciousness. And this is what devotion is all about. This My Lord is so great and I am insignificant. Let me offer something. There's two. Actually three. Bhagavan, Bhakta, and Bhakti. There's three. There's the Lord, there's the devotee, and there's the process, the activity of devotional service. And that's where the real sweetness comes. It's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that thinking oneself one with the Lord, this Mayavadi philosophy, Mayavadi conception, one can never experience the madhurya, the sweetness that comes from devotional service. Krishna samye nahitandra madhuryashwadan. Samya means the same. If one thinks oneself the same as the Lord, there can be no bhakti. It's just, how can you, if I am the Lord, why am I going to serve him? If he's me, I'm him. How's there going to be any service? How's there going to be any bhakti? How's there going to be any sweetness? There won't be. There will be just some false conception that everything is great and I'm great. But there's no sweetness there. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, bhakta bhave tandra madhurya charvan. From this devotion, humble devotion to the Lord, then one can actually chew the sweetness. He says, madhurya charvan. So, these Brahmins are in the proper mood and the presence of the Lord, they're offering prayers and humility. That although they were quite qualified in so many respects, but they're speaking in a pleasing way to the Lord. You don't need any of our offerings. You're self-sufficient. Glorifying the Lord. And that's also the real pleasure in life, to just be proud of Krishna. Krishna is so wonderful. It said that one should not be selfless, but one should be self-forgetful. That not just that you think of yourself less, but completely forget yourself. You just, all you're thinking of Krishna is Krishna. And that's the real blissful state of consciousness, because Krishna is all blissful. Satchidananda Vigraha. Everything about Krishna's holy name, his form, his pastimes, Srimad Bhagavatam, every syllable is full of this attractive nectar of Krishna Katha. The more we can become absorbed, the happier we'll be. The more we become absorbed in ourself, the more miserable we'll be. So they were just absorbed in the Lord's glory, is just offering wonderful prayers, glorifying the Lord's wonderful form and qualities. And because it's unlimited, one may think, I've heard this before, these glory, you know. Sometimes we may think it's repetitive. I've read this pastime, I've read. But no, it's unlimited. There's different levels. And we may understand or have heard something, and we have understood to one level, but there's many levels. You can go deeper and deeper. It's unlimited. Yeyata mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajami aham. Krishna is willing to reciprocate according to our mood. The more intensely we want to approach or to understand, Krishna can reveal more and more. It's like a desire tree. You know, one can get unlimited transcendental fruits by, you know, approaching. And the more we show the Lord that we just want him and we don't want anything else, then he's happy to reveal more and more. And we can become more absorbed in Krishna consciousness and more forget, you know, our own selfish desires and the miserable material world. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of the Lord and his pastimes. Every chapter, every verse, every syllable That's why it's called the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the narrations about the Lord and His pastimes. And it's a prescription. We're meant to read the Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning, from the first canto, first verse, gradually going through. It's prescribed by the great physician Shukadeva Goswami to cure our disease. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the both. It's meant for the Paramahamsas who are on the platform of relishing Nivritta Tarashara Upagiyamana Bhavosha, but it's also the medicine prescribed for those who are in the conditioned state of life. And if they take the medicine in the proper way, as Srila Prabhupada has explained, you read, we don't think, oh, fifth canto is just about Rishabhdev and it's about cosmology and this has nothing to do with my, you know, Braj Leela. And we don't take the time to go through it, then we're missing out on the purification and the nectar that's there. From a distance, we may think, oh, there's no nectar there. But if we actually give it the proper respect, we'll realize that there's nectar in every syllable of Bhagavatam, everywhere. So, I think maybe I've taken enough time. Would anybody like to offer anything or ask any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, there are three levels of devotees, Kanishta, Madhyam and Uttam. And there are nine progressive stages of devotion. Ado, Shraddha to Krishna Prema. So can we have three sets of those qualities with one Kanishta, three with Madhyam and three with Uttam? Can we coordinate like that?
Well, I've never heard it explained like that. Yeah. Ado, Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu-Sangha. So the faith and Sadhu-Sangha, association with devotees.
Bhajana-Kriya.
Bhajana-Kriya, initiation, devotional activities, and then... Well, I mean, it may... Have you heard that somewhere?
No, I want to...
Yeah,
no.
I mean, because it's definitely... I mean, those are the beginning stages, and then... And it may correspond. I've just never heard it explained like that. That's all I can say. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
It's a comment and a question. So His Holiness Giriraj Swami and his... class seminar on Nectar Devotion explain this three stages. So it's Adishara, as you say, Anartha Nivriti. It's a stage of neophyte when we are getting purified. Ruchi, we come to Madhyam Bhakta, and Uttama Adhikari is when Bhav is starting to
Bhava develop. And Prema, those two. Okay.
Yeah, from Bhava is Uttama.
Okay.
It's actually the nectar of devotion. The symptom is given. And by Ruchi is the Madhyam. Nishtha. Nishtha to Ruchi is the Madhyam. And below is
the
new fight.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. So not exactly three, but... But it still corresponds. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay. Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.